Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, Startup Hustle? It's Andrew Morgans, your host for today's episode, covering all things e-commerce and Amazon. We're going to have some fun today, as always. Before we get started, a shout out to Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Speaking of a software, we have the CEO of Demand Jump, Christopher Day, as we're going to refer to the rest of the episode, TOF. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I had some time today, and I actually was studying Demand Jump kind of in depth before we got on. I got a chance to watch the videos, the demos of the software. The e-commerce geek in me got a little excited.
Well, that's,
I think it's pretty cool. When did you guys officially launch?
We started the company in 2015, started building the platform in 2016. And the latest feature that we go to market with, we just launched in Q4 of last year. So we're okay. Really excited.
So fresh. I'm excited to talk about it. Not just for the audience, but you know, in my day-to-day business, growing e-commerce companies, I think a tool like this is, the market has needed it. So, you know, I think people need direction, and this is a tool that can give people a lot of direction quickly. Before we go into kind of like what the software is about and what Demand Jump is, let's hear your story a little bit, Chris. How did you become, have you always been a founder? You said you're a co-founder here. Is this your first project? Like, how did you get into the entrepreneurial space? Have you, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. So I grew up on a tiny little farm in the middle of nowhere in Northern Indiana. And, I love farming. I think farming is great. I have cousins that have 4,000 and 5,000 acres, but we had 100 acres, and that meant we had to farm with an old farm wheel and a 3-bottom plow. And we went to church in a horse and buggy. And I knew that I wanted to do maybe something a little bit different with my life. I always had an issue with authority. Mm-hmm. And I think I knew from a young age that I wanted to do something on my own, but I had no idea what that would be. I thought that would be general contracting. And so I went to Purdue, and my major was in the School of Technology, but the specific major was construction management. Okay. And I did go do that for about 4 or 5 years out of school. But then the way I got through college was a painting company. And one of the folks I had a painting company with called up after I'd moved. I lived in Atlanta about 4 or 5 years after school. I moved back to Indianapolis, and one of the old partners in that painting company called up and said, "Hey, I've got this idea. Let's go, try to start this business." Long story short, we started a broadband company called Starcom, and we ended up selling that to Comcast. And then So then the customers we served in that business called up and said, "Hey, we have these utility problems. Will you help us solve those?" And long story short, we start this automated meter reading company and build a billing software. And we sold that to two different entities, Motorola, and then also National Water and Power. We sold the billing software to. And along that stint, I did some commercial development, had a bottled water company, And then I think about a 10-year sprint, I had four companies in four different verticals. I was exhausted and I was going to take 2 years off. And like any good entrepreneur, that lasted 3 months. Started an investment banking firm doing M&A, mostly domestic, but a little bit of cross-border work.
Okay.
And attacking most of the middle quarter of the country. And that was awesome. But I cashed out of that after about 4 or 5 years. Had a dot-com business during that stint. But that all leads into demand jump. So I met my partner, Sean Schwegman, about halfway into that investment banking business. And I was always frustrated with marketing, quite frankly, in all those previous companies, because I felt like we put a bunch of money into a black box and we really never knew what came out the other end. It was very soft. And I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this, I truly believe that marketers have the hardest job inside of any company. You can't see, touch, and feel, you know, what you're trying to achieve. It's the internet is nebulous, right? It's out there somewhere. We can't really see, touch, and feel it. And if you look at finance, you look at warehousing, you look at sales, you look at, you know, ops functions, et cetera, everybody has a finite set of data that they can pull into a platform, centralize that data, apply some BI to it, and get better results, right? Whatever that's trying to do, whether you're trying to, you know, reduce your collection cycle or whatever it might be, you know, sending boxes out the door faster, whatever it might be, there's all kinds of tools out there to help improve that ROI. Marketers, their job has gotten exponentially harder, we believe. You know, what's Facebook, right? Is it programmatic display? Is it social? What is it? It's multiple channels in one. So not only are channels splintering, but we all know the stats, right? 90% of the world's data was created in the last few years. The complexity of digital is off the charts. And it's just impossible for a human to try and sift through the mountains of data, to cleanse that data, right? To combine that data, to understand what would be the most powerful action they could take next that will drive that desired result and be able to quantify it to the CFO, to the CEO, to their boss, right? Yep. That, hey, these actions I'm taking, they actually are working and it's driving a quantifiable revenue return. So that's kind of how it all came about. I should add, my partner, Sean, was the CMO for Overstock from 3 million to 800 million. And he is a data-centric, just maniac. Just loves swimming in deep ends of data, right? And so we thought there has to be a better way. And I think a lot of this stuff that we see out there is that wasn't even possible probably 7 and 10 years ago. We didn't have the computational power to pull this stuff off. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have database structures really until, I don't know, 7 years ago, plus or minus. And then you've got to go, then you've got to figure out the right math to apply to these novel and elegant problems. And that takes a lot of trial and error to figure out what algorithms to combine in unique and different ways and let that machine learning, right, get smarter and smarter and smarter. And so it takes time. It's not like something you just wake up one day and like, I'm going to throw some, well, some people do, I guess. You know, you don't just throw an algorithm, you know, at a set of data and something magically happens, right? It takes a lot of hardcore math and data to make it work. So that's kind of the history.
No, I love it. And very impressive. Extremely impressive. Like, I am in the M&A space, learning that, trying to learn that, you know, I've acquired a couple of small e-commerce companies. It's a lot to learn. You know, and it's just seeing businesses as products for the first time, I guess, in a way, is just a different way of thinking. You know, it's an evolution for sure. So yeah, I commend your story. I have lots of questions. You know, your story to, you know, the way you describe the web and marketing in the digital world today, that's what Marknology has done. This isn't a sales pitch. There's other people that do what we do, but, understanding the algorithm that is Amazon, I've been doing it 9 years straight, almost obsessively, how to grab the data. So understanding advertising before, because Amazon doesn't give you data, the only data you could get was advertising. So I was using it as a major source of you know, data acquisition on the platform, and how do you interpret what's working there with keyword search into the back end of Amazon, into the listings, into the A+ copy, into the alt text of the images, you know, into the same copy into the images so it resonates with customers, and getting conversion rates at like 48% on listings like years running. It's just the segmentation, right? And it's like that alone, part of the frustration is like, I know I'm just dipping a like hat into the amount of data, like what you could do with all of it. And watching the space evolve kind of around e-commerce, around Amazon, you know, Amazon's newer than all of e-commerce, but it's a part of e-commerce now. And, you know, watching it evolve, watching the Mad Attribution, watching these softwares come about, I've been trying to build a reporting tool just as a dashboard tool, you know, for my clients and my agency for 4 years. I'm on my like fifth one probably, you know, so how to present that data, how to story tell with it, how to show them, you know, what's really going on this platform in a way that they can understand quickly and easily. And everything from sessions, you know, which is more like, you know, page views, to like the conversion rate, to you know, on Amazon everything matters. So what your sell through on product determines your ability to send product to Amazon. So if you don't maintain good sell through across your products, then they're going to keep you from being able to ship in product, which is then a logistical problem. So you have to be like holistic with the data, really. Yes. To really understand what's going on, at least on that platform. And on the website, getting a good SEO person into my team was huge in regards to, you know, blogs hitting home and starting to rank for the keywords that we should have been ranking for. And you know, this is Demand Jump is just the next level of that. Let's talk about the software a little bit for everybody that's tuned in. We've kind of been bragging on it because I'm definitely giving it a shot. I was sold. I was like, did I just get sold on this software? I think I did. You know, it was easy. You didn't have to sell me. I was sold before I got on the show today. But let's talk about it. Okay, so the definition we have here off the site is Demand Jump is a customer acquisition software that shows marketers new sources of growth online. Their mission is to understand the world's competitive digital data and make it actionable for marketers everywhere. The company's software uses artificial intelligence that shows a holistic view of the data, overlays absent data, and maps that target market behavior, enabling marketers to make better decisions by providing actions that maximize return on investments. And that was beautifully written. In short, what it does, I'm going to explain it, and then I'd love you to go into the science of it. But it allows people that don't know where to start, where to begin, like where should their team be focused on, identify topics that are important to your business or that you're a thought leader in or that your company solves for or that whatever that is around your business, and coming up with a strategy. It helps you find those keywords, find articles to write about, you know, using Google search, using the algorithm, using data insights on search volume and kind of a spider web of how these keywords work. But shows your team exactly how to, like, what to write about, who to target, and how to make your content on your website, you know, in your blog, in your content, in your emails hit home, you know. Yep. And I think that's, you know, you talked about, that's why I went to the Amazon space, was it was one of the only places in e-commerce at that time that I could directly tie in a marketing action into a sale. And yep. I was struggling to do it with affiliate marketing. I was struggling to do it with email marketing. I was doing a bunch of freelancing across different projects. And I couldn't really draw the straight line. I knew it was important, couldn't draw a straight line. I could draw the straight line in Amazon. So I started crushing it there.
Yep. That's, you know? That's very interesting. Yep, that's exactly right. So if I had to say it at the highest level, the platform does a lot of things, but I'm going to pare it down to two major things. So at the highest level, we think of Demand Jump as a marketing strategy platform. Marketers today still largely have to guess at what to do next. And we're trying to replace guesswork with knowledge. And we say we start with content, and then we close the loop with attribution. So use case number one is 90% of the web pages and blogs out there, 90% of the web pages and blogs out there never get seen. Mm-hmm. That is an astounding number. If we all went to bed tonight realizing that, hey, tomorrow when we wake up, 9 tenths of our day is going to be wasted. That would be a buzzkill.
That would be a huge buzzkill.
And yet that's what's actually happening in the real world. And so, so on content, you know, people talk about funnels and they talk about flipping the funnels, and we have another word for the funnel. Basically, we think funnels are dead. The internet is a spider web. It's a graph, right? It's a three-dimensional thing that expands and contracts. New competitors come, you know, competitors go out of business, competitors enter new lines of business, new trends happen, new fads, new buzzwords invented by investors. You know, it's always changing. We find it changes about 22% per month. And so the way the platform works, if I sell customer success software, I literally can enter in that as a pillar topic, customer success software. In 15 minutes, the platform maps the entire world, builds a graph, builds a network, all the networks of networks around that pillar topic, and just simply tells me, if I want people to see me, like, why do we market? Because we want people to see us and theoretically buy from us. And so if I enter in customer success software as a pillar topic, in 15 minutes, it maps the world and tells me, here's the most powerful questions ranked in order. Here's the most powerful searches being conducted. Here's the most powerful websites ranked in order. And the list goes on, influencers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But use case one for content. If back to, we're merely, marketers are merely players in the field. There's buyers and sellers, just like players in a game. And then there's a referee. And the referees, the search engines and the social engines and the marketplaces, et cetera.
They have rules.
They have rules. And so they're in charge of how the game's getting called, because they want to serve the end customer and consumers. They don't care about you or I, right, trying to sell something. They're
Amazon's
trying to
customer focus. And yeah, I've always, like, I didn't mean to cut you, but like, this is huge. I try to, if for my listeners that care about Amazon, I try to tell everyone I talk to this. I said, look, there's black hat, there's this gray area, there's walking the line, there's these like things you can try to do to rank better and yada, yada, yada. Amazon is a system that was built. Its intention was to make customers trust e-commerce by getting stuff shipped in 2 days, by no hassle returns, by like click, 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 the same uniformity of the web pages, yada, yada, yada. So if the platform is built for that, lean into that. Lean into the rules. The more you understand the rules, the better you can operate within them. And so, you know, we were founded around, we weren't doing all these like kind of crazy things that a lot of Amazon sellers were doing when they were trying to private label and whatever. I knew of them, but I said, this platform is not built for that. It's built for the exact opposite. It's not built for sellers. It's built for the customers on Amazon. eBay, Etsy, built for the sellers. And Amazon is built for the customers.
That's right. 100% correct. I'll give you here's one example. It's a fun example. Lipstick. So the most powerful question in the world, and this is from 6 months ago when I ran it, but the most powerful question in the world for lipstick is, what does lipstick stand for? That is the number one most important, powerful question asked by the customer, by the consumer. Call them a customer, call them a consumer. We think they're interchangeable. Not one, zero manufacturers of lipstick were answering that question. None of them. Gold. So it's gold. Right. So if I answer that question, if I'm Maybelline, if I'm Revlon or whoever makes lipstick, if I focus on like what I think is a manufacturer, as presumably if I make lipstick, I'm an expert. Right. I'm a domain expert at the compounds that are used and the organic things and the, you know, whatever you would use to sell lipstick colors and all those kinds of things. And what people naturally want to do is jam that down your throat. Right. We have the best lipstick because it's got the, you know, some fancy new organic ingredient that we've discovered, and it's made out of tea leaves that are buried 30 feet under the ground, only in shale conditions that have watershed, that whatever. Nobody cares.
I didn't want to know any about that. I didn't want to know any about that. Why are you shoving what you know down my throat to show me that you're the best and the thought leader in the space? Like, you should be selling to me and what I want, right?
That's right. Yeah,
exactly. And it's, I've even had the same issue. Like I, you know, when I was speaking, you know, on Amazon and different things like that, you know, when I was early on and doing some conferences, it was like, I was trying to get my feet under me, and it was, you know, I was trying to create these PowerPoint slides, or these speeches, or like these presentations that were like advanced Amazon. Like, if people are at this Amazon conference or this e-commerce conference, I'm like, they want to learn the good stuff. I'm going to show them just like you know, Marknology's expertise, like, you know, and that's, and it wasn't like, I didn't feel like I was coming at it from a place of ego or anything like that. It was just like, I want to give them value. That's what I was thinking. Like, I want to give them like real value. I've been putting out free content, like on my, on this podcast, on YouTube for years and years, like trying to be a thought leader in this space. I was just putting content out and I would do that in my speeches. And then it just like hit me like a truck. You know, like everyone here is still 101. They're still 101, and that's okay. But, you know, I don't need to be talking to them about advanced advertising strategies on Amazon when they don't know what a sponsored product ad is, you know? And so it just reframed the way I was doing everything. You know, sometimes you just, you struggle till you figure it out. But, you know, bringing it back to you, they're missing the ball. Most people are, most companies, most marketing companies are missing the ball. You know, they're showing a Cialis commercial to everyone watching the football game. And I understand top of funnel and all of that, but like, that's just not where we're at right now in 2021. You want to feel like, oh, how do they know me? Like, how does this company know I was looking for body wash? You know, like, and so if it gets like super segmented, everyone feels understood a little bit in their buying, you know, their consumer pattern, and they feeling understood and they're like, I'm going to give this brand a shot. You know, oh, convenient timing must have been a thing, must have been, you know, a line for me to buy this or whatever. And they, at least emotionally, subconsciously, they're feeling that if you get it right.
It comes down to trust, right? There's been a bunch of studies recently around trust. And I think that the numbers are roughly 30 to 34% of consumers trust the brands that they buy from. That's an abysmal, scary number. Mm-hmm. And you know, we don't, back in, you know, 20, 30, 40, even longer years ago, there was a lot of loyalty, right? Like Levi Strauss jeans or whatever, you know, people would buy, you know, Levi or Wrangler, and there was this loyalty to buy, you know, that product. There are so many options out there today that loyalty, that same loyalty just doesn't exist. I mean, there's how many types of jeans can you buy now? There's hundreds or maybe thousands. Yeah. And so people are going to buy from people that they trust. And when they have questions about, you know, the best new stretchy jean or something, whatever, we could enter that in the platform and find out what the most powerful questions are. But if you answer those questions, when I answer those questions, if you're served to me and you're answering those questions, I am going to trust you. And I'm going to think this brand knows what I'm trying to get at. I'm going to look at their product.
Correct.
It's just a natural, we think about in real life. Here's another analogy I always like to use. It's, I think is kind of funny, but just imagine that after this podcast, you know, today you leave and you decide you're going to buy, you know, you're thinking about buying a new car and you wheel into a car lot and you're thinking I might buy an Audi. And so you look at the Audi, you kind of drive through, you walk through there and you decide not to buy yet. And I don't know if you're married or not, but let's see, your wife calls and she's like, honey, bring home a chicken for dinner. Mm-hmm. So you run across the street to the grocery store and you're looking for a nice juicy chicken to buy. And that Audi sales guy shows up in the aisle at the grocery store, shaking a flyer in your face. Like, you want to buy this Audi? How about the red one? How about the blue one? And then the Porsche guy saw this happening across the street and he shows up in the aisle shaking. No, you really want to buy a Porsche. Don't buy the Audi. You would think that that's weird. And you might call the cops, right? And you're definitely not going to want to buy an Audi or a Porsche anytime soon. Probably it's going to turn you off. Yep. That's exactly what people are doing digitally.
LinkedIn advertising, like I'm spammed. Like, I wish I could have got that kind of girl action back in the day. Like the spam that's happening in my LinkedIn DMs is ridiculous. You know, there's a car wash down the street. That's the best car wash around in Kansas City. It's a drive through. It's always booming. It's packed. They have a membership that you pay a monthly amount to get unlimited car washes or whatever. And the thing is, I just don't get my car washed that much. And it's in North Kansas City and I don't want it. I just don't want another subscription. It's not, it makes practical sense to buy it. I understand that, but I don't want the membership, you know? And I go in there and I've started avoiding the car wash because every time they insist, even if I'm like, I don't want the car wash. I don't want the membership. I just want to pay for the car wash. Right. So it's turning me off, right? Yep. It's turning me off to a great product, really. Because they've got their salespeople so incentivized or something like that, that they're pushing for these numbers that they're just like shoving it down my throat. And I'm like, I don't want it just because you're shoving it down my throat. Right. So the same thing happens on Amazon, just to bring it related to my world, is like, you know, these sellers will be like, well, I want to rank for every possible keyword that's related to my product ever. And that's not the case. You know, if you're selling a blue jeans, let's say you're selling blue jeans and you don't want to show them red chino pants. Right. So it's like you need to segment. You can't just rank for pants. You need to be like talking to the guy that wants blue jeans or the blue jean Levi's. And so, you know, Amazon's catalog is such a mess because of how it started, that it's like so important for brands to get their data correct. You know, don't be confusing your customers. They want to trust you. Marknology has a completely different strategy than we employ for like what we do as a service, which is direct consumer marketing for brands. We understand the Amazon platform for them and Shopify, and even, you know, hashtags and social media like Instagram. These influencers have figured out if they hashtag correctly with the right content based on what people are searching, what hashtags they're searching, and if they can speak right to those things and get their market right, they'll explode, right? Yeah. And that's why they can go viral or something like that if they create a good piece of content that people enjoy. So passing the mic back, because I get really passionate about this subject, and I feel like we're a smaller company, but I think in the thought leadership space of Amazon, we're among the very best. And like for the longest time, SEO, people didn't believe in the power of SEO and the integration between how the advertising and the organic SEO on Amazon works and how they work in tandem. People call it the flywheel, but it's a little bit more than that. And then as Amazon builds out their advertising, it becomes more and more and more important to understand that strategy and what you're doing. Yep. And so, you know, just have had a lot of passion about SEO and getting it right and segmenting. And typically when we come on with brands, we're not doing anything that's rocket science. Like you said, I think earlier, was it's a bit of art and a bit of science, and you're trying stuff all the time. But wouldn't you like to be trying blog articles that actually are getting read by some people, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Andrew, I think you're spot on. Maybe it wasn't this way when the internet first came around, but it's definitely true today. The SEO, organic, it is by far the number one most important thing to get right. We used to be able to brute force our way with paid efforts, right?
Because they're cheap. Because paid efforts were cheap.
Paid efforts were cheap. And now there's so much competition for the paid. But on top of that, the search engines are watching to see whatever you're bidding on. Are you aligned organically? Is your SEO and your organic structure aligned with what you're trying to buy? And if you're not aligned,
you're pleasing our customers, then we don't want to show you your stuff. We don't want to show your stuff.
And when it does get served, it's going to cost you 2 or 3 or 4x more. And it is painful. I think marketers are realizing it more and more, but it's, there is no question that the data shows SEO organic. That is the number one most important thing to start with. And then you layer it, it impacts everything downstream, whether it's even getting served, if you're paying for something or not, even if you even get the opportunity to be served. We're aware of one customer that when we first got started, Google wasn't even letting them, they were willing to pay, I think it was roughly $250 a click for a certain phrase. Google wouldn't even let them pay for it. That you couldn't even get that high because their organic was so mismatched. That's a huge number, right? And like that's how serious this issue is. Like if the SEO and organic is not right, nothing will work downstream. You will have some luck. There will be some results, right, that people will get. But it is either going to be extremely inefficient from a traffic and a conversion standpoint, slash cost at minimum 2x.
And I think some of it is, I'm just going to say it out there because we're talking in generalities about marketers, but, you know, it's laziness. Because segmentation is hard work.
Yes,
segmentation is hard work. I think in whatever industry you're in around this space, like, it is hard work to segment. That's what makes good Facebook ads. That's what makes good Instagram ads. That's what makes good Amazon ads. That's what makes good SEO. That's what makes good organic content. you know, it's hard work to segment that kind of stuff out. And I think that's the difference. The space is getting harder. And so it's separating kind of the people that are going to put in the work. And then also it's the long game strategy. Like people are in it for the short, you know, build and flip. And that doesn't work for organic traffic. Like you need to have a long game strategy, which is a blogging strategy. And you can do all of the things, right? You need a balanced attack. I do believe that. Yes. But, you know, seeing a Facebook ad, nothing makes me trust them less. To bring it back to trust, nothing makes me trust them less than clicking on an ad, a Facebook or Instagram ad that catches my attention. I go to the brand's account and they have no posts, nothing related to anything. They're just like, threw a couple of posts up and are running ads. And like, you know, I'm like, you haven't done the work. At least it turns me off. My trust is gone. I'm like, this is just someone throwing something up and running an ad, trying to convince me or trick me. And I'm gone, you know? So I think it's a little bit of that. It's, you know, playing for the long game.
Yeah. You're 100% right. The organic strategy is not something you set up for in 30 days and get it all set up and then we're good to go. And now you run off and do something else. It's you're exactly right. You've got to pick kind of two or three, depending on what the budget is, right? But there's going to be at least two things, one being organic and one being paid. And then you look at what channels you go into, but you can't do it all. It's become so complex that unless you have a large team, you can't do everything at once. And so you've got to pick your kind of rifle shot, right? It's a rifle shot approach to a shotgun approach. You'll spray and pray, right? It just doesn't.
I mean, Martinology is, you know, we're on pace to do a couple million this year if we continue, you know, the way we're doing. And I don't pay for any advertising.
Yeah.
And we're busy, busy, busy. And it's not all referral. It comes from Google. It comes from everywhere. Comes from Instagram, comes from Facebook, comes from the podcast, comes from content. We're just creating content, just like this podcast title, Consumer Behavior Explained, what we're talking about today. That there was research behind that. That's a search term that people search, right? And so building content like that, I say that for anyone listening to just understand that, you know what, I'm a bootstrap guy. I don't come from money. I don't have investors. I didn't have investors. I'm not against that. I'm just a bootstrap guy. I'm someone that's figured out how to grow a business out of nothing. And so you have to know the free ways. What is that? Invest your time, write some great articles, do some research, you know, figure out, what people want to hear. For me, it was, you know, I've tried a bunch of different things. It was, I see there's so much content out there about negatively about Amazon. That's kind of like, I was just like, I care about my space. I'm doing awesome stuff for brands. I want to talk about it, you know, just hoorah. And I started seeing that there was just like, it was always a negative article from a Facebook ad guy. It was always, you know, a negative blog from this company that wants you to, you know, shut up for Shopify, some Shopify stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, who's putting out positive stuff for brands or telling brands how to face these challenges? And I'm like, I'm going to do that. You know, so starting to create content around that. And then as the space has evolved and now I've got a bank of content to pull from. What I was trying to say is I didn't even know exactly my strategy, like demand jump offers here. I didn't even know my exact strategy. I just knew that I wanted to put out content that people would read and gain confidence around Amazon.
Yeah. And you're an anomaly, Andrew, right? We see when we load up companies in the platform, it's 8 or 9 out of 10 companies they're missing the mark by far. And every once in a while we'll come across a company that they're doing the work that you described earlier, right? They're trying to do some analysis and really try to take a strategic approach to connecting with their target market. But I won't mention the names, maybe that wouldn't be nice, but I kind of want to in a way, but I mean, we're talking major household brands, household brand name companies, that, you know, they have a package that sits, you know, on a Kroger shelf and that's their marketing. And so, and we can,
you know, who has horrible marketing on Amazon? Nike. If Nike's listening to me, call me. Anyone, like I'm telling you, Adidas is kicking your ass on Amazon and they don't even know what they're doing. And they're doing a better job than you guys. I think you guys are just, you know, boycotted Amazon early on. You need to revisit that, at least get your brand looking sharp. You guys are too great of a brand. to look like crap on Amazon? Okay, I said mine. You can go.
So the one I'm referring to is P&G, right? And even okay. Look at their products and they're just misaligned. We know exactly why Colgate's number one and Crest is number two. Yeah. We've looked at, it's funny you mentioned Nike and Adidas or Adidas, however you pronounce it.
Adidas, yes, I love that.
But these are really big, powerful brands. And I think at some level, some of these companies today are successful because they were successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're still riding the wave.
And they're riding the wave. They're riding the wave. And I would be.
Over time, it will deteriorate. I believe
it is. It's already happening. I totally agree. It's if they don't change their ways with digital interactions, Nike will not be Nike. Adidas will not be Adidas in 20. I don't know what the time frame is, but 20 years plus or minus, they will not be the same.
I outrank major household brands on Amazon and have been for almost 10 years now. Chips like Chips Ahoy, Nabisco are nothing compared to my like mom and pop shop out of Arkansas that I'm helping because they're willing to implement the strategies and that we're talking about. And I'm outranking them for chocolate chip cookies on Amazon. Are you kidding me? I should not be able to do that. Right. I should not be able to do that. That's why I love this space. It gives the small guy a chance.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Maybe it's a great thing for wealth generation, right. Of the masses, because I think some of these companies think about it in terms of, well, if somebody pops up and they get big enough, we'll just buy them. We'll just buy that brand. Well, I guess that's a good thing too, right? For the entrepreneur. But it is shocking to me as big and sophisticated. And these companies have really smart people working there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're riding the wave and they get paid a lot of money and they just don't want to put in the work. And they want to, you know, show up at the golf outing, you know, at the whatever the PGA term it is, you know, this weekend or you know, NBA games or whatever. They want to go do that.
It's not going to be on my watch, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty
interesting. I don't know, Toph. I think like it's this topic of you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And people do not know MySpace. I'll tell you that much. They do not have a clue. There's very few people. And when I meet them, I get super excited, you know, because I've been, you know, and my team is unmatched. I believe that. Like, I believe we're like top 10 in the world for what we do. And it's not even rocket science. It's just that we're ahead of everyone else. Because no one's doing it. No one's thinking like that. You know, when I worked with Adidas on a project, it blew my mind. I didn't understand this. I didn't even know what the word entrepreneur meant when I first started just like freelancing to make some money on the side as an e-commerce manager. I didn't really know what entrepreneur meant. I was just making some side money. And I worked with Adidas off of Upwork. And I was working for an agency that white labeled me to another agency. So I was too deep. And then it was working with an Adidas team, a company that just got bought by Adidas called My Coach. And I won't give exact numbers, but they had like a big agency working on their account that I was working for. And I'm like, how do they not know? I didn't know anything about Amazon then. This was like 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Didn't know anything about Amazon then compared to now. And I was like, how do they have this big company? No one cares about Amazon. I looked at their advertising and I was just brought in for a small branding project, like create these pages for them. They had amazing photography. So early on, I got to work with a brand that had amazing content as far as photos and graphics and stuff. And that was something eye-opening for me. But also because the smaller brands didn't have that budget. But then, you know, then I begged five times. I begged five times to get some of their advertising products because that was what I was obsessing about was the data at that time. And I was like, I can do better. They're just like, they were just turning on ads on Amazon without like managing them and just like trying to hit these like spend goals. And I didn't understand that because I hadn't worked in a corporate company like that. That was just like, if we don't spend $100,000 this month, we're not going to get $100,000 next time. So we need to spend it. And the fact that they didn't care about ROI or ROAS or like ACOS as they call it on Amazon was just like, I was, you know, didn't have that mindset or that business acumen yet to understand why that would even be a thing. And I just begged them to give me their worst performing product from Q4 of last year. We were coming into the Q4 the next year. I was like, give me your worst one. Just what harm can I do with one product? And, you know, I outperformed them by several 100% ROI because they were just doing a horrible job. And that was my light bulb moment, really. I guess I just kind of fell into that story, but that was my light bulb moment, really. That was like, I think I might be onto something. If the biggest marketing companies out there that are getting big retainer checks or big project checks don't care about this or aren't understanding this, there's going to be a lot of businessmen and women that will appreciate saving money like this and getting segmented on Amazon and doing it the right way. And that's when I kind of felt like I had something.
Yeah. excuse me. The big three, which I guess is what they're called, right? The big three agencies, the dollars, this may be a little bit controversial to say, but
say it.
The dollars, these big agencies, the big three is who I'm really talking about, especially that they charge these Fortune 500, 1000, 2000 companies. It's highway robbery. I'll just take one example, display programmatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest ripoff I've ever seen. They all say they have some beautiful, you know, wonderful Rube Goldberg mousetrap, and they explain it a different way. And they use really fancy words, and it really does sound very, very sexy, very sophisticated. And it's got beautiful colors when they pitch it in a wonderful deck. And they basically, they serve display the way they always have been, which is, you know, to audiences. It's what we were talking about earlier with this trust. Mm-hmm. And the way they execute with these DSPs and DMPs, it's garbage. It's 60% of all audience data is 90% wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is intent. So this is another thing that the platform does, but basically the concept is, to me, it's a very simple concept. Again, buyers and sellers are merely players on the field. Somebody else is in charge of reffing the game. So if I'm looking to buy, you know, software or Ferragamo shoes or reading glasses or whatever, when I go ask my question or do my search, somebody else shows me, they dictate what sites I get served. Well, if you knew out of the 2 billion websites on the planet for any given product, what are the 5,000 or 6,000 or 8,000 or 12,000 or whatever, sites that matter, that get served in order of their importance throughout that research decision and buy phase, well, then why wouldn't I just serve my ads on those sites?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's intent. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to educate myself. I'm thinking about making a decision, or I'm ready to buy. Then why wouldn't I want my company to be shown to that user, that consumer, that customer in that moment along that customer journey? The likelihood that they're going to talk to me, if you're in B2B, or if you're in B2C, buy from me, that likelihood goes up exponentially.
And product targeting ads on Amazon. Yeah. Product they have display off Amazon, but on Amazon it's called product targeting.
We literally see people, when they deploy that, they quadruple their click-through rates on half the spend.
And if they're running their own, is that what you mean? If they're running their own ads? Or if they're using one of these advertisers,
or they can use whoever, they can use whatever platform they want. Our customers just up to Google and run them from there. But the people are paying these exorbitant numbers for these DSPs and the DMPs, and the mm-hmm. big three. These are charging hundreds of millions. This is a multi billion dollar industry that is
sloppy,
90% plus inefficient for no reason. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's listening that's spending that kind of money, I can save you. Guaranteed, we'll save at least half of it.
Hey, and this is about telling it how it is on this podcast. Like, I'm trying to give out real value, and people can take my opinions or not, or your opinions or not. Right, it's their choice, y'all's choice. Like, but just as people that have obsessed in this space, I like to say it like it is, and so I appreciate you saying that. Number one, and I don't disagree. Amazon is making a huge push for display ads. And as someone that's worked with their team, that you have to pay, $30K a month to be using their team with AMG, they call it AMG at the time, Amazon Media Group. if we had a great rep, and the reps are only there like 6 months to a year and before they move on, if we had a great rep, we would get pretty good results. And if we had that got segmented and was like caring about our program, and if we had a bad rep, we would see it go the complete opposite direction. And it was the level of like segmentation that they were doing or not. It's down to the person, not the quality, not are the ads successful or not. And when Amazon rolled out product targeting ads like that, I told that all of my brands, and I'm an Amazon advertising agency partner, so I've passed their certifications. I'm part of their pilot program of agencies. And we're one of two. I'm going to just say this, get my plug. We're one of two agencies of those 60 that are service-based. The other are 58 are software. Because I don't believe it's just sophisticated enough to not need the human aspect yet. They came out with display ads that sellers can run, advertisers can run. And I told all of my brands, we're not messing with it. I tested for sure, but it's like now 3 years in the making and it's coming back around, and you can get a little bit more segmented with the audiences and whatever, but it was either on or off and it didn't work. And while Amazon was pushing it out and emails in them, and every, you know, once a week, they're getting these emails to use these ads, you know, as an Amazon partner, I was like, we can't use these ads if we care about ROI and ACoS, and the types of brands I'm working with still care about making some money, which I choose that on purpose because I like having fun making businesses actually profitable. But, you know, you got to say it like it is, you know.
What's the movie? It's a profit thing. What's the, I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember his name. The actor.
I'm sorry. I'm not great with movies. It sounds like a good one.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. Okay.
Profit thing.
Well, I'm actually like excited to show this to my SEO team. I think it would even be really helpful for us, even though it's not Amazon. You know, we run our own marketing. We're our own marketing company, our own media company for our company, on top of running several others. And so running that strategy, like we have an SEO team that's outsourced, a pretty good little small team. But, you know, I would love them hand this tool over to them and be like, hey, align us here. Just make sure we're dialed in. You know, I want to be talking about this subject. Like, let's really create for that. And my mentor, the founder of this podcast, Matt DeCourcy, his blog strategy is just impeccable. They crush it, you know, talking thousands on thousands on thousands of organic views, you know, to the website a month. Like, you know, and that's just like, I guess what I like to say is that long game strategy is actually the real strategy. Cause with an ad, you have to have ads, at least on Amazon, you have to have ads. But it's not the long game. That's the short game. Get the churn, you know, figure out what keywords work, build those into your listings. But as you invest, like, you know, on Amazon, if you go through a Christmas, that's kind of like a christening, like that's a big deal. And in the next year, you're going to grow. In my opinion, you get so much traffic during the holiday. But it's those listings start to rank, and it's something that will rank forever if it's great content, right? It's going to be there forever. It's an investment. It's like real estate, you know, and it's an investment that's going to be there as long as you own it and maintain it. And the difference in paid and ads is like, sure, that's fast money, but like once it's there, it's gone. You got to do it again, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We before we solved this content piece, we wrote, I think it was 116 blogs probably in the first years of the company. And all those blogs were largely wasted time and effort. And when we solved this issue, 4 years into our company, in 1 year, we 12x'd our inbound traffic adopting this strategy. So we drink our own champagne, right? We use our own platform for our own marketing. 12x increase year over year in inbound traffic and 3x increase in sales.
That's awesome. There's no like trust statement. Like, I use this stuff myself. This is how I've done it. This is what I've used. I've created this because I solved for it. And then now I'm offering it to you. I love that.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, we're getting up on time. I want to give one more shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. That team is what runs his blog. That's the blog I'm talking about, Fullscale.io. They're amazing. It's an amazing team, amazing company. Check them out. Toph, where can people find you? Where can they connect? Where can they find out about this awesome software we've been talking about?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. So if they want to check out the software, it's at demandjump.com. And then my name's Christopher Day, and I can easily be found on a LinkedIn. I can't remember the actual physical link, but Christopher Day at Demand Jump, and would love to talk with anyone if they want to supercharge their SEO and look forward to see if we can add value to your team. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chris. And guys, it's not that expensive. I just wanted to let you know, go check it out. Some of these tools that, you know, can do some of this sales data research and things like that are like astronomically expensive. This is not. You can get in there for $100, it looks like, or a couple $100, you know, depending on what you need. And I think it would make a big, big difference in people's businesses. So I'm not an affiliate. I'm just saying, I believe, you know, when I see something that I believe in, I think it's a great tool. And it's something that we do manually on the Amazon side. So definitely believe in it myself. Chris, thank you so much for your time. I've had an awesome time just chatting it up.
I did as well. Thank you very much, Andrew.
You're welcome. We'll see you later, hustlers.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.